they are, it would, it's kind of a balance of Satanism and witchcraft together. It's their own form that they've developed. They put the two things together, and it's a very, very, very complicated religion.
Well,
I mean, these...
Okay, Satanism is not only a, you know, it's a religion, it's an ideology, and it's also a rules of conduct to live by, and things to, you know, believe in that you can do, and that the devil and these otherworldly beings can do, and so do skinwalkers then have an ideology of?
Yes,
okay.
They do. At my current research, what I've found from talking to people in the tribes and things like that, a lot of the current ideology is based on Satan, on the devil. And the devil is their basis for performing these black arts, causing retaliation, curses, harming people. And the skinwalker, that would be the shaman or the man who has been, per se, given these supernatural powers or been riked along the, you know what I mean? They have like their own little cults and
yeah.
They stay within the tribes. And
you could equate that with...
So they have multiple people participating in a ritual, but only one is the focus.
Yes.
And that
yeah.
is the skinwalker itself, or himself or herself. Is it
yes.
him and her?
The skinwalker is the skinwalker is the individual or the spirit per se that actually performs the spells, goes to the residence of the person. I don't know.
Oh, so the skinwalker isn't a human.
Well, that's where it gets a little sticky, because
okay.
there's several different categorizations that the Native Americans believe in. Some people that I've spoke to actually have skinwalkers in their tribe that you, if you want to harm somebody or put a curse on somebody, you actually can go to them and pay them money, and the skinwalker will perform a curse or bring harm to that person. And then I've gone to other people, and they have told me that skinwalkers are essentially supernatural beings. Let me get back to the core for a minute,
okay.
though.
The
word skinwalker, it originates from the word called Yanadi Doshi. I know that kind of sounds funny coming out of my mouth.
It's a mouthful right there, yeah.
Yeah, Yanadi Doshi, which means walks on all fours. And it's basically kind of like a Native American werewolf. That's the best way I could put it.
Okay.
It's a... considered a man or a woman who has the power to shapeshift into animals, and that's where the skinwalker comes along. The word developed right from that meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the original fact, legend that's written, was that these shamans developed these powers to turn themselves into animals so that they could sneak into these houses and take certain articles. It's kind of like voodoo, because I believe voodoo, they use articles, you know, pieces of hair, things like that, to perform hexes. It's kind of like that. And the skinwalker originated just by that context right there. I mean, he was the guy who had the power to turn himself into a coyote, which is like the common curse animal,
mm-hmm.
sneak into your house. He would appear as an animal so nobody would suspect him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go into the house, take what article he needed, or harm the person, change back into a man.
I don't know. I think if a coyote walked in the front door of the haunted Warren Winery, I'd notice and suspect something was up.
I'd get a little nervous myself.
Yeah, but that's okay. I think...
I get out the haunted Warren Winery pistol and start firing it.
Yeah. Well, Native Americans are very, very wary of any kind of animals at night. There's a very common knowledge among the tribes in this area that, per se, if you see a snake or a coyote or pretty much any kind of animal, because there's lots of legends, near your house at night,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to close all your curtains so that the animal can't peer in at you. It's quite a scarce legend. If you guys look, yeah, you can't find a lot on it on the internet.
Okay.
I mean, it's not not a common thing to investigate. It was really, really hard for me to get information.
No, yeah, okay. No, not if you see an ostrich at night. No.
You mentioned an ostrich, Doug. I'm like, well, how? That's like the least scary animal I've ever seen in my life.
Hello, I'm an evil ostrich. Quack, 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 quack.
Is that what the noise
I made? Apparently, that's what the actual audio from my last my last meeting with the evil ostrich at the Warren Winery. We have one here, apparently.
No, I'm telling you okay, you see like this coyote or this... Yeah. Ostrich or something looking in at you at night, so you close your curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, an ostrich, that's what they do. They're like, oh, I'm in danger. Bury its head in the sand, you know.
Okay.
It's like, if I close my eyes, then there's no evil there. It's not going to get me.
Okay, I understand
what
you're saying.
It's not a very effective reaction to fear.
They don't need your head, they'll at least eat the rest of your body. You know?
Right.
There is two ways to kill a skinwalker, according to Native American Americans that I've talked to.
One your lines is, and ignore it.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I wish that would work.
Oh,
according to them, it doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
There's only two things that you can do. You can either call out the skinwalker by his name, which is his real name, which I haven't been able to get to the root to, but I do know that that's what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to a medicine man. And a medicine man is the only one that's able to ward off the curse, because skinwalkers come back again and again and again. Once you have the curse, I've talked to people that have allegedly seen and had these events happen to them over and over and over and over for years and years and years. So, it's a very long-term thing.
It sounds like they need to get new friends, because if somebody's going to pay somebody to get a skinwalker on them, they've got some enemies that they need to clear up.
Well, yeah.
That's where it gets sticky for me, because I hear two different stories. I hear people that, very religious, very down-to-earth Native Americans who are a little older, and they don't consider skinwalkers men. They're actually supernatural beings that are conjured up by other people to come and harm them. There's a lot of different theories out there, and that's why one thing that's really frustrating for me is the Native Americans don't like to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
They really, really, really don't. They don't like to mention it unless they have to.
Mm.
It's very sacred to them.
Well, there's your correlation. There's the correlation I'm seeing, though, between what we're talking about as far as the skinwalkers go, and the black magic, so to say, Satanism. There are spells you can conjure, and you can read in the Satanic Bible, things like that, where if you do want to do harm to someone, you can go through a series of spells. And I don't know, I've never done it myself, I don't plan on doing it, but that's where you can actually sick a demon on another person, whoever you want to cause harm to, or whatever outcome you want. You can conjure up a demon. They have a demon for everything, it seems like, where they can come and take care of and come to your house as a coyote or a giraffe or whatever it is nowadays, and commit harm to whoever you want to have harm committed to. That's the correlation I see there. That's when you mention Satanism and black magic of sorts. That's one of the things that you do in black magic, is just that. It's interesting that there is that correlation, though. What makes me think
a
little bit...
it's a little more complex.
Well, obviously, too, yeah. It's interesting, though, to think about that, because there is that correlation. And if you strip out all the ideology, like you said earlier, Doug, basically they're the same thing. They're doing the same thing. They're conjuring a supernatural spirit to do something for them, more or less. When you take away the Satanism and you take away all the Navajo beliefs, it's the same process, more or less. That's getting really to the root of it. Like, okay, how can people, two different groups of people, I don't really know myself where Satanism came from. I mean, does anybody around here, Brandon, does anybody have any idea where Satanism came from? It's an interesting thing to think about.
Buck.
My opinion would be about that is that I'm not sure if Satanism was the original ideology per se that they used.
Oh, yeah.
I do know that the current people who practice this being, I'm not sure if it's a trendy thing to be, or they want to be associated or disassociated with good or evil. They want to be evil.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can read and the people that I've talked to, the original version of the Skinwalker was just based on evil intent, retaliation, kind of a magical resource to get back at the conquistadors and the white man for taking the Native Americans' land. I mean, imposing this religion on them that they wanted to keep their own beliefs.
Well, yeah, of course.
And the central government said, no, you either do this or we're going to hang you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was several thousand witch trials, I mean, in New Mexico, and you would be surprised if you did your research, you would think to yourself, you know, there's those famous ones that were in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was thousands and thousands of Indians that were persecuted here in New Mexico because they were believed to be witches for the one reason that they would not practice Christianity. They wanted to keep their own beliefs, and the Spanish guy said, hell no, we ain't going to do this. You either live our way or you're not going to live at all.
And that's when you think about that, too, you get right to the core of that. How ridiculous is that?
Well,
ridiculous.
But you're talking a little bit different ideology than the founding of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you're talking Spanish conquistadors.
1600s, yeah.
You're talking Inquisition-style stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, convert or be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And tortured and killed.
That's still ridiculous. That's still ridiculous. Especially, and yeah, this is just, you know, coming from the world of Scott, I guess, but you come to a foreign land, and you basically take over. We know that they're just by living every day. That's just something that, you know, Doug.
Hello, their name was a conquistador.
Well, yeah, I know. It's
like
still in
spreader of goodwill.
Yeah,
they were there to conquer.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I agree. It's a sad thing to hear about, you know. Because I haven't done the research on that, and that's the first time I've heard something like that there were thousands of Indians persecuted, just living the way they've known their whole lives. And they didn't know that this was going to happen to them down the road. They were just living their lives. And now they're being forced to believe in something that they don't even understand, most likely.
Yeah,
they're gonna be
home. I mean, they want to know part of Christianity. And they just wanted to live the way they had lived.
Yeah.
And you know, you see men with guns and horses and a lot of the things early Native Americans never saw before, you know, so they were a bit intimidated. And the real rebels, the real mean, aggressive tribes would actually take off and just, you know, war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's several different little mini wars that happen in between the Native Americans in this valley and, you know, on and on and on, and, you know, it went on to the Old West, the 1800s, and it just kept going. And I think that the witchcraft, I guess you want to call it that, was their way, their only way. You know, they wanted some kind of retaliation, and they didn't have the arms, and they didn't have the numbers, so they turned to another form.
Well, they didn't have the brute force that the conquistadors did. They didn't have the technology the conquistadors did. So what's the next alternative? Obviously, get in their minds.
Yeah, and it's originated from the medicine man or the shaman. You
mm-hmm.
know, that's who they went to for spiritual guidance. So wherever the origin of skinwalkers came from, it definitely has to do with the medicine man being kind of like the chief of the tribe. Everybody went to counsel him. What do I do? Because, you know, the medicine man had the most knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most gifted. He was the one that foresaw the future, the one that made up the herbs, the medicine, you know, gave life to the tribe. And there was a lot of medicine men that turned very aggressive after the invasion of the conquistadors. I mean, it was a different medicine man, per se. It was a different kind of medicine man. Before they came, medicine men were looked as, you know, positive, giving back. A lot of those people, a lot of the medicine men, changed their practices to the black arts and only use their powers for negative because they were so angry about their people being persecuted.
And that's a pure retaliation right there.
Like
we've been talking about, that's a whole different mindset now. Your whole life has been changed, well, most likely for the worse in their case, forcibly changed, And what do you live your life for then after that? I mean, that's huge. I mean, somebody cuts you off in traffic. Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, it happens to us every day, and sure, it grinds your nerves a little bit, but after a few minutes, you get over it. We're talking about having your whole life taken over, your whole life changed.
But on the whole, then, mm-hmm. it didn't work. Like, okay. The conquistadors were... They still took over,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, it all became part of the United States, which at least had a different set of ideals than the conquistador, although it still wasn't pretty.
No.
I mean, it was tough and rough and a lot of blood and a lot of wars and a lot of fighting and a lot of, you know, moving of Native Americans, you know, back and forth and up and down and here and there. So there was a lot of... You know, a lot of negative happening, even under the rule of the United States or its you know, in its early form.
Yeah.
But it was still was not the conquistadors. But what it didn't work. I mean, you call the skinwalkers out and look. You know, we know now because we're 100 years or whatever, a couple hundred years in the future now, and we know now that they're not. There are some that are living similar to how they lived before, but not where they could have, and on their own terms. They're mm-hmm. living on our terms, unfortunately.
Yes.
Well, not my terms, but the United States' terms. Because, you know, I'd give them all back.
Take it. It's yours, man.
I would do a lot more for Native Americans than the United States is doing. But the thing is that they are living a different life now, so it didn't really work, did it?
Well, I mean, I kind of, here's my thought on this. I kind of think of as a skinwalker as a hitman. They were and still are kind of the hitman of the tribe,
mm-hmm.
you know? If somebody has a problem, you know, if you're a member of that tribe and if people trust you, they'll let you know who the local witch is. This is what I've heard. This is the common knowledge. And they are paid money to commit crimes, per se, or black magic, or basically bring harm. Mm-hmm. They have no goodwill, no good intent. Their whole basis of thought and process is negative.
So there's like there is no positive intent for this whatsoever. I mean, like, stick a skinwalker on this person and bring him flowers. That's not going to happen, right? I mean, we're talking about pure harm, pure evil in its essence, so to say. There's nothing, like, bring this person and do a singing telegram. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see a skinwalker do that. They're only going to commit harm, and that's it.
Yeah, and they're very feared by the tribes, extremely feared. I mean, these are far and few between people who... apparently live in the middle of nowhere, you know, have no need for electricity, running water, anything. They live out in nature.
Mm.
They still live in, I guess you would say, the old ways. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the landscape here, but we're very, very rural.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where I live is in Albuquerque, and we have 500,000 people, and we're the biggest city. And there's just thousands and thousands of miles of reservations. I mean, our whole state is pretty much one big reservation divided up by different tribes. So that doesn't leave a lot of room for people to build. You know what I mean? Those lands are, you know, sacred to the Native Americans.
And that land's protected now, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't even go on it. They have their own governments.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own police. If you commit a crime on a reservation, you're tried on the reservation. You're held it, unless it's a federal crime. Like, if you commit a crime and the FBI gets wind of it and it's a federal crime, then they can extradite you over. But it's really a trip. I mean, they have their own, it's their own, everything is their own world.
I've heard that about Indian reservations, too. They have, it's their own setup.
Yeah, you have no, you're powerless. You really are. And I've traveled to several reservations in this area to try to do research, and I've gotten a lot of negative feedback from people, you know, get the hell out of here, you know, what are you doing, you know, do you understand what you are messing with, you know, you're going to die.
Really? These people told you that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you are.
I,
Everybody.
I went to a unnamed reservation here near Albuquerque about, I don't know, 4 months ago, because there's a mountain that is supposedly, you know, it's haunted and there's a lot of ritualistic things going on. And I took a camera and a friend and I went up there and I met this individual from the tribe up there. It's always best to get in contact with somebody, because if you go by yourself, you might find things that you don't want to run into. You know what I mean?
Well, I imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So I was able to consult with somebody, a friend of mine that's a member of that tribe. And we went up to the mountain and, you know, he told me straight up, I mean, this guy's been my friend for a couple of years. He's like, if you mess with this, you know, bad things will happen to you. You shouldn't even conjure this up. You know, these things are real. They can change into animals. Doesn't matter where you are, what religion, what race. I mean, they're always looking for something to do. And if they have a new target, you know, they're very happy. You know, your life will end the way you want it to. That's what he said to me. And
this is your friend basically telling you that these things are very real.
Yeah,
they're very much part of the Indian culture. I'll just say that big umbrella, and these things do cause harm to people.
Oh yeah, and I mean he took me to a local graveyard. The land that I went to, the Indians don't bury. They're people the same way that we do.
Uh-huh.
They don't have this. Well, the tribes around here, anyways. I'm not going to speak for everybody, but the local tribes here actually have a practice where they leave the body of the deceased person in the kitchen of the house for 7 days.
Yeah.
And if the body's gone, that means that, you know, they have some people in the local tribe that come and take the body and dispose of it. If the body's still there, then that means that that person left something unattended in life and that they're going to have problems.
Wow.
And they need to consult with the medicine man. Yeah. And my friend said it's fairly common. There's a lot of urbanized Native Americans that do not practice the old way, but there is many that do. And I mean, I don't know about you, but that's not, you know, I wouldn't be able to leave a person that I loved on my kitchen table for 7 days. You know,
that would definitely interrupt dinner, I think. That would,
yeah.
That would definitely put a thing on the family meal, I think, in the evening.
Yeah, and that's definitely hardcore, you know. And the skinwalkers play into that also, because, you know, there's a common knowledge in skinwalker practice is grave robbing.
Mm-hmm.
They do something, they actually get the bodies of their enemies, burn all the flesh off, take the bone powder, grind it up, and it's called corpse powder. And the saying is that as if they blow this corpse powder on your body, in your face, they can put some in your food when you're not looking, it'll kill you. I mean, it's really, really, really grotesque kind of manipulation using human flesh. I mean, bones. And it's common, apparently, according to my friend. I mean, corpse powder is the most feared practice of these individuals.
My
you
God.
Know?
You know, you're scaring me. I've always, I mean, I still hold the same opinion to the Indians, in the American Indians in this country, in very high regard. We all do here at Ghostly Talk. But man, I didn't know they were so hardcore. Like you're saying, Brandon, this is some very deviant practices we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's basically it's because of so many years of oppression. You know, there's a lot of negativity built up in these tribes even to this day, and there's a lot of, you know, common things that end up, you know, I mean, a lot of the tribes around this area are very poor. They don't get a lot of help, you
mm.
know, and it's really sad to see. I mean, you go on these reservations and it's like going into a different world, you know. They don't have a lot of nice buildings. They don't, you know, they're not taken care of because they make their own economy, pretty much. I mean, I'm sure they get some kind of government allotments, but they have suffered greatly, you know, over the years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And a lot of them have negative attitudes towards any outsiders. I mean, when I went on to the reservations that I did, I very rarely got a welcome. Hello, how are you? How can I help you?
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
and rightly so, it seems, too.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said.
And I'm a very respectful individual. You know, I greatly love the Native American culture. I mean, we have so much of it here. We have tons of museums and tons of famous Native Americans that have lived in this area, and it never ends. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful culture. You know?
It is a beautiful culture. I still believe that too. Why don't we take a quick break here, Brandon? Okay, because this is very it's a solemn discussion, but I think there's a lot going on here. I want to talk more about it. I know you've never heard of the Skinwalkers either.
No,
it's a very
just in the email.
Yeah.
Saw the site, but I didn't read it.
This is a real good insight into, you know, this is firsthand also from Brandon, because you know you do the you do research on this stuff.
Yeah, I love going out to the sites and visiting people, and I have some resources that are available to me that I've worked many years to get, because like I said, you have to earn trust.
Mm-hmm.
With these individuals. If there's no trust, you can't just walk up to somebody that's a member of the tribe. Hey, how you doing? Can I ask you about Skinwalkers?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite that simple.
Yeah. They'll be like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Let's take a quick break here, all right, Brandon? Guys, cool. Hang out here. Everybody hang out. This is. I can feel the mood. Doug, I don't know if you can feel it or not. But it's a heavy mood going on right now.
Oh,
we don't have this very often on this show. It's usually, you know, all S's and G's here. You know, we're just goofing off and having fun and talking about all kinds of wild stuff. This is a bit different. It's interesting. It's something I want to talk more about. Will, let's take us away here for a second. We'll be right back.
From the Paranormal Research Center of New England. I hope you guys enjoy listening to Ghostly Talk. These guys are great. Have a lot of fun with them doing their show. And feel free to contact them if you ever need anything. And feel free to contact me if you ever need anything. Be willing to share experiences and talk about things. And like I said, listen to my buddies here at Ghostly Talk.
Hello, this is 911. What is your emergency?
Hello, 911. You've got to help me. There's a ghost in my trailer.
Excuse me, ma'am?
There's a ghost in my trailer. He's a flipping and a flopping and a flying all over.
Ma'am, please calm down. Ghosts do not haunt mobile homes.
Yes, they do. I saw them hard copy.
Okay, what is the ghost doing?
He turned the lights on and off, and then he knocked on the door.
Are you sure it's not the power company?
No, he's right here on the couch eating Cheetos.
Okay, what does the ghost look like?
He's invisible. I can only see the horror stuff around his fingers and his mouth.
Sound familiar? This scenario happens every day at trailer parks across America. Experts estimate that one out of every six mobile homes is haunted by a ghost or perhaps a possum. You could be next. Here are some telltale signs. A can of skull mysteriously floats through the air. Blood drips out of your simulated wood paneling. The room is spinning and you're not even drunk yet. If you think your trailer may have an unwanted guest, please call Trailer Exterminators. We specialize in mobile home ghost removal as well as the extermination of aliens, secret government bugs, and in-laws. Don't call 911. Call us now.
Trailer Exterminators, may I help you?
Yeah, the government has built a tiny robotic inchworm that has infiltrated my compound and attempted to steal my secret car squeezing recipe.
Don't worry, sir. We'll be right over.
I'll be hurrying because they're about to unleash a giant bat.
Don't delay. Call now. Double Y's in.
Hi, I'm Carrie. at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not an option.
Go home and die.
Quite topical, huh?
I'm going to have to listen to Ghostly Talk now.
Somebody's been working in their lab, I see, over the weekend.
Somebody went insane with the...
Somebody's been playing with buttons and clicking on toggles and doing all kinds of neat little stuff.
Oh, my God. Leave Will alone for a weekend.
Yeah. Wow, man.
The brakes changed.
Sounds cool, though.
Yeah.
Sounds super cool.
Awesome.
Sounds super cool. We're back here on Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And, yeah, this is why am I talking this way? I sound like a moron. I sound like the anteater from that cartoon.
I don't think the Ranger's going to like this, Yogi.
Shut up, boo-boo. I'll slap you in the face, boo-boo.
Is that what Yogi sounded like?
Yeah.
Yeah, what if boo-boo enjoys it? So we've got...
That's right, boo-boo. Take it, you little...
Oh, my God.
I have just destroyed all of my wonderful childhood memories of Yogi Bear. Thank you.
I just had a heart palpitation, I think. Good job.
There's nothing like putting a sexual slant on your favorite cartoon characters. We know people.
Nasty.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I always liked Olive. She was skinny.
What's
olive?
That? Oh, Olive Oil.
Olive Oil.
Oh, yeah. She was a hot number there, man. There's nothing like, dating a beanpole.
I don't know that one.
Ooh, yeah, that was yummy. And okay. Enough talking about cartoon characters. We'll save that for another discussion. This is
Velma.
Velma. Ooh, Velma was hot.
She was not interested in any guys, though. I'm pretty sure. So
Velma. Wait a minute. Where's Velma from? I forgot now.
Scooby Doo.
Oh yeah. She was like she was like the nerdy one, right?
Yeah.
I
smart. Smart as a whip. But
she didn't like guys though.
She liked to build houses.
She liked to build houses.
Whoops. Anyway,
she like physically built them, right? not like designing them.
She liked to build them.
She comes walking by with a steel girder on her shoulder,
yeah,
like yeah,
that's,
okay.
That's Velma.
Hi, yeah. Velma. When's your next investigation? The van's right over there. Oh my God. Anyways, we have Brandon Weiss still on the phone here. Thank you for being on the show, Brandon.
No problemo.
This has gotten to be a pretty, pretty interesting conversation. I mean, I knew we were going to be talking about the Skinwalkers and the Native Americans, but I'm learning a lot more about the Native Americans myself. Doug, what are you
doing? Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear.
What the hell? Oh, God, no more.
At a picnic table, you will find him there.
All right.
Nothing done more good than the average bear. He will
sleep
till noon, long before it comes. He'll have every picnic basket that's in jelly for fun.
All right.
Yogi has it better than a
picnic. Keep going with this. I guess Yogi heard us.
Yeah,
and he decided to drop in and sing his theme song.
Sent over a clip. Yeah,
thank you, Yogi.
That was great.
Thank you, Yogi. Well, no problem at all, Scott L. I appreciate it.
I'm going to have to investigate this hard drive.
There's something going on.
What
is going on here, man?
Man.
Well, okay, now we're...
I don't remember.
I have no train of thought anymore.
I think we're talking about respecting or something, and that didn't work out.
No, yeah.
Yes, I am. I'm learning a lot. I'm still trying to piece together. I think we've only scratched the surface.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I'm still trying to piece together all of the nuances of Skinwalkers and the legends and the belief systems therein.
Well, and there's something that, unfortunately, and I know Brandon will agree with this, is that the frustrating part, like you said earlier, Brandon, is that there's a lot of things there's just no way we will ever know about it. It's impossible. And I can speak firsthand on your frustration. I've mentioned it before on the show. I have a grandfather who's a Mason, and I've actually sat down with him and said, "Grandpa, talk to me. tell me. I want to know all about it. And he's like, sorry, I can't tell you anything. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Bottom
yeah,
line.
I mean, it's very, very sacred. And being that we're so rural of a state, I mean, these Native American people don't have to get urbanized. I mean, there's many that still live, I mean, literally off the land. You mm-hmm. would trip out. I mean, there's no freeways. There's no maintained roads. These are deserts, mountains, just mountainous communities that there's nothing there. You know, they're totally sufficient off themselves.
Well, look, everybody at one time, I think, you know, not us because we were born a little bit later than that, we can live without TV. You can live without electricity. You really can. You can live without central air. It can still be done to this day. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, either way you want to look at it, I know I love my central air. I'm not going to lie about it. I like it nice and cool in here at all times, even in the wintertime.
Well, yeah, with Will in your house.
Well, yeah. That's like the fourth shot he sent over at Will, man. Wow. I think you and Brandon got it on in a past life or something. Like you broke his heart or something.
What'd you do to him?
What'd you do to Brandon?
Hey.
But the point is, though, is that, you know, there are some people, and like you said, Brandon, it's like, man, you trip out. You'll see, like, there's no roads here. There's no stop signs. There's no stoplights. I mean,
there's nothing. There's not even, did you know this?
Hmm.
This is fairly common. There's no street names.
No street names.
There's no road signs at all. You go into the Pueblo community, and you basically, if you're not with somebody who knows the way to where you, there's no road signs at all. There's nothing.
And that right there, now there's a problem. There's a big problem right there, because I get lost as it is usually.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you need to go about 40 feet this way till you see this old man chilling, and then you get yelled at by him.
That won't work for Scott L. Let me tell
no,
you,
it won't work. I'll be.
He'll be on the phone with. What about cell phones? Do those work out in the?
Not a lot. I mean, that some of these communities are desolate. I mean, literally, you have to drive 3 or 4 hours off any main road just to get to them. You know, there's several communities, several pueblos that are located here near Albuquerque, and they're the tribes that are pretty urbanized because they have casinos.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they have a lot of revenue and stuff going into it.
Yeah, if you have Wi-Fi in your reservation, you're urbanized.
Yeah.
But
exactly. And there's a lot of communities that miss out on that piece of the pie, per se, because they're not near a big city, and they don't have the revenue to make a casino. So, I mean, these are old-school communities. I mean, there's some communities you go into. I've seen a church that was built in the 1700s. That they still use to this day.
Wow.
I mean, the pews are in there. There's it's exactly that. There hasn't been any renovations, it looks like. It's basically falling apart, and that's where these people go to church every week.
And they don't... Well,
Why don't they fix it up?
They don't have the money. There's no revenue going into these communities.
Well, I mean, in order to build it back in the 1700s, they would have had to have pitched together, knocked down a few trees, planed the wood, dried the wood, put the wood up, attached it with rope or whatever, I don't know, but glue, I don't know, grab a horse and
melt
it down or whatever you do, and they would have had to have done it the old-fashioned way. And if they're living the old-fashioned way, why don't they knock down a few trees, plane the wood, dry the wood, kill the horse? I mean, what?
There's a lot of motivation.
I mean, they don't go to IKEA, you know, for to you know, furnish your 1700s church.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
They didn't do it back then, and you can't do it now. So why can't they fix it up? Is it their choice?
I believe it's just motivation. It's choice. If not revenue, there's not enough young people in the community. A lot of the communities are just older mm-hmm. individuals that aren't able to, you know, maintain whatever they need to do in the community.
And this, I understand, that must be an issue. I mean, that must be a real problem for the communities out there, that the younger folks, you know, should they wander outside the community and discover.
And they do. A lot of the, it's a generation thing, you know. A lot of the younger kids want to be urbanized. They want to go to the cities. They want to go to college. They're not about the old ways. They don't want to cook. You know what I mean? They don't want to live like that.
That's what
so
I was
they move
thinking
out,
too.
And that leaves the older individuals.
to fend for themselves, more or less.
Yep.
And that is a generational thing. You see a lot of people leaving the tribes now. A lot of younger Indians. I've met a few myself in college when I was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go to school. That was their thing. They didn't want to live the old ways. They wanted to modernize and move out and go out and make their fortune in the world.
Well, and that leaves the playing field wide open for the negative individuals, because there's not a lot of law enforcement in these areas. The tribal police that do police these areas are literally afraid of the witches, per se. Mm-hmm. I mean, their belief system is built around these witches. And to even try to confront or accuse or do anything that would, you know what I mean, draw attention to these individuals, it's
unheard
of.
Could bring the wrath of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that basically, they're in a desolate area, and they can do what they want, and they live the way they want, and they can hurt who they want. And it's no man's land, you know? And from what I gather, that's why they have such a deviant reputation, because they can get away with murder, literally. And nobody's going to say a thing about it.
What kind of supernatural non-normal mm-hmm. Phenomena can be ascribed to the skinwalkers? We know about shape-shifting,
spells, conjuring up demons, if you would say, or apparitions of enemies to mm-hmm. commit these crimes or curses or harms against the person that they want. They basically are like a puppeteer of the supernatural world, is the best way I could describe it. They supposedly, allegedly have abilities to control, you know, the other side, is from what I've gathered, you know, with the ghost robbing. They're digging up bodies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually accused of using human skin in their practices. Being they're called a skinwalker, literally some skinwalkers are believed to use human skin to cover themselves up when they go on these little adventures that they do, either creeping up to somebody's house or not looking like themselves, because that's the number one thing that you can't do. You cannot never be identified if you're a skinwalker.
What happens if you are identified? I mean,
then you call somebody calls you out by name, and
okay, then that's where that whole process starts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, according to tribal practices, if you're found, if they do find out who the skinwalker is, they're if the tribe as a whole calls out, or if an individual calls the skinwalker by name, there's some magical practice that happens, and the skinwalker is executed by the tribe. He loses his power, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you call this person out by their real name, they're believed to lose all their supernatural powers. And so, therefore, they're helpless and can be persecuted for the crimes they committed.
Let me make this clear, too. This is going on today. We're not talking about the past.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about today. This is happening presently.
Oh, yeah. Very common. Super common. I mean, this is not a scarce thing. There was a movie that was released. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tony Hillerman. He's a Southwestern writer. He writes all about Native American folklore.
I've never heard of him, unfortunately.
Well, Google him sometime and give you.
There we go. Hey.
Yeah, hit him on the Google.
Hit him on the Google. We'll find. I'll have like four or five fan pages to look at then, and I'll have everything I need.
But he did a movie called Skinwalkers, and it was a little bit far out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of movies are. I've heard you guys talk about this. They're not fact. You know, they're Hollywood twisting everything out of context, and he got a lot of heat for that. I mean, a lot of bad things happened to him. And there's several websites he talks about he wished he would have never got involved. And because he originally wrote the book, then he agreed to do a movie for PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Skinwalkers. And after he did that movie, this guy had the worst luck ever. I mean, he got in car wrecks. You know, he just... The somebody went to town on him, you know, and he had an abnormal amount of negative things happen to him, you know, and he relates it all to that experience. He thinks to this day, you know, according to from what I've read, that was all a result of him dabbling in something that he shouldn't have, you know. And all those bad things happened to him.
And what about your own research then?
Well, I've been very fortunate. I've been studying Native American, you know, research per se for many, many, many years. Not just the negative aspects, but, you know, community life, everything as a whole. And I just kind of came upon that end of it, and I got really interested because, as I told you earlier, I'm kind of an amateur ghost hunter, too. So to me, that was paranormal, and it really just got me, you know, I wanted to get to the meat of it like Scott L. says, you know. And I haven't had any bad experiences. I've had people threaten me, you know. I've had, you know, people tell me to stop doing what I'm doing, or it hasn't affected me mentally, physically, you know. I'm just very interested to see if this is fact or fiction, you know. It just captivates me that there could be people committing these kind of, you know, out there, essentially harmful things at the rate that they are, and nobody's paying attention to it, you know.
Well, technically, they're just performing a ritual and commanding an otherworldly being to do it, right?
Yeah. Yes. According to most, some say that the Skinwalker is one man who is controlling the supernatural world. Others say that Skinwalkers are supernatural beings controlled by a shaman or a man. Those are the two main theories that there are.
So either way, the Skinwalker is not a U.S. citizen or even a tribal citizen.
He's an otherworldly citizen, so to say.
Yeah. And I mean, I can, if you guys want, I can tell you a little real short story about the only experience I ever had.
Don't hold back.
Let's hear this, man.
Well, it was about 2 years ago, and I was out camping with some of my friends that were a member of the, well, I better not say the tribe, but a local tribe here.
Don't be casting no bad karma on us, man. We don't need it here.
And we were in the woods. We were in the mountainous woods, and we had a DJ because, you know, I'm all into the DJ and the techno, and I'm.
This is how
we had a little part.
This is how you camp, yeah.
This is how you camp with a DJ,
a PA system, and a record player, and all that stuff.
Yeah, was this like Pueblo stock or something?
Well, you know, we just bring the turntables, put them in the back of the pickup truck, and I mean, music does good on camping, I guess.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Yeah, so, but I never brought a DJ. I bring an iPod or something.
Hey, oh man, generators are cheap, dude.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Dang. Okay, so you had this DJ, and there were only a couple of your friends, like 400 or 500.
Yeah.
Okay. 400 or 500 of your closest friends out in the middle of the woods with a DJ.
And it sounds like a rave.
Sounds like a rave to me. Okay.
Let's put it that way. It was kind of a ravey kind of little gathering. Wasn't that many people. Probably about 50 or so.
Okay.
Just a lot of close people. And I went to dispose of myself, I guess you would say.
I don't know if you really mean that.
Yeah.
Relieve yourself?
Relieve.
Please
don't say dispose of yourself anymore.
You were
anymore.
Pent up and you needed to relieve that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went out. I walked a little ways because all the cars were parked. Because
there were about 60 cars for these 50 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of cars.
Sounds like us in Indiana.
Yeah.
When we go ghost hunting in Indiana. Let's see. Okay, we're up to 24 cars now.
Yeah.
All right. So you walked beyond the cars. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and I went out into the wooded area, and, you know, I had my little glow stick.
God, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
And that's going to make it any worse.
I knew it. I knew glow sticks had to come into the story.
Yeah,
somewhere.
They were apart. I could smell them.
Yeah. So I was, you know, I lighted my way.
Somehow this is going to turn into a skinwalker story, too.
Yeah, that's the most amazing part. All right.
Let's go.
So I lighted my way into the wooded area, and I started to relieve myself, and I heard a loud crackling, you know. I heard, like, it sounded like something broke, like a tree branch or like a big tree branch. Something broke, and it kind of freaked me out, you know. And I had a girl that was, I don't know, about... about
14.
20 yards behind me.
Sorry, Brent. I'm sorry. 14, huh? No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Okay. Kind of like a little buddy. We had a little buddy system going
on.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
So, and I heard that, you know, I heard that sound, and I was like, what is that, you know? And it kind of freaked me out. I mean, you're in the middle of the woods, you're doing your thing, and you hear this sound, and I'm like, okay. And so I turned around, and I started to walk back to this individual that I was with, this lady, and I heard another sound. And I turned around, and there was a man sitting on a, kind of like a, we have here what you call mossy rocks. They're like big patches of moss that grow on these huge boulders, and they're real infamous for this area. But he was sitting on top of the boulder. I mean, he was sitting on a rock. And he called out to me, and I couldn't quite hear him, so I started to walk back, and I called my friend over, and we traveled down to this little area where he was at, and, you know, he said, what are you kids doing? And I thought that he was maybe a landowner or somebody, you know, that was really angry, and, okay, I'm about to get my booty kicked here.
Yeah.
And he's like, you shouldn't be on this land. And I was like, why? What's going on? He's like, this is sacred ground. And I'm like, oh, no, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, my friends really should have, you know, they should have, why are we here if this is, you know what I mean?
Sacred land, burial.
Yeah, so he was like, you know, you guys need to leave, and, you know, or bad things are going to happen. I'm like, oh, God. And I really, really started to get scared. I mean, there's not a lot of times in my life that I've been freaked out, but something about this guy freaked me out. I mean, he just didn't look... You know, he didn't look right. So
was
I was
he
like, now, okay.
Did he look like they
red
looked,
glowing eyes?
No.
I mean, he was just a man. He was a man. And
was he? Did he look like he was a Native American?
Oh, he was.
Okay.
Yes, right. He had long hair.
Okay.
Oh, that does it.
Well, yeah, they were red.
Obviously, yeah.
No, and I could tell by his accent.
Okay.
And so he's like, okay, you know, and so we started to walk back, and I heard another big noise. And I look up, you know, in the same area of the where he was sitting, and there's a dog sitting where he was. There's a dog there.
Mm.
I mean, it looks like a, you know, I got really scared, and I didn't really, like, walk up to it and say, hey, you know, I wanted to see what it was, but it was the form of a dog. It looked like some kind of animal, like a dog animal.
Mm.
And I basically peed my pants and ran. And
okay.
I went and told a buddy of mine who was a member of the tribe, and he immediately, within 15 minutes, cut the whole party off and said, we better get out of here.
Mm.
And to this day, you know, I never put two and two together till I started, you know, really getting into the investigations about skinwalkers. And That's the only thing I can think of. You know, there's probably a lot of, you know, things that could have been. The guy could have had a dog with him or something.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, it was instant. I mean, I turned around, and he wasn't there anymore, and there was an animal there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm never going to know, you know, and I can't say for sure because I'm not going to try to claim that that was a skinwalker.
Yeah.
But it was a very short amount of time before I turned my shoulder and looked around, you know. And either it was a really sick coincidence or, you know, he was a skinwalker and he was giving me a warning, you know, like, hey, you know, get off my land.
Get off the land.
Going down.
Get off the land. Get off the land. That's go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was just saying, I hope, you know, Wes Craven's not listening. Or
yeah.
This will be in, like, next year's
big block
movie. Or
yeah, there you go.
But, well, this would make, I mean, this would, it would be incredibly hard to make a factual movie about something like this.
Because nobody's, you're not going to get the facts.
Yeah, you're not going to get the facts.
You can't get them.
You're going to get a lot of opposition. If you were to make a mainstream movie about this, I don't even think politically it could be made, because there would be so much opposition from the Native Americans about even mentioning, talking. You know, you want to put this subject in the spotlight, you know. This is something that we despise. You know what I mean? I consulted with a friend of mine about coming on the show tonight, and he told me, you know what, as long as you stay neutral, you know, and you don't portray them as ever doing anything to you or your family or anything like that, because you're not Native American, there's no long-term effects. It's a very, I'm going to say, if you're not, what's the word I'm looking for here? If you're non-Native, you're not so much affected by these individuals. That's what people say anyways.
Well, damn it, I'm telling you, Brandon, if a friggin' coyote walks in here tonight when we're trying to sleep, I'm calling you.
Well, I think, although that doesn't, I'd love to say that makes perfect sense, but it doesn't. It makes no sense whatsoever, because these things were started, or it originated with negative feelings against
people.
Spaniards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Spaniards were Spaniards. They were not Native American. And so therefore, I think the original intent was that they would hope to hurt the non-Native Americans.
Yes, and there is several, I have done a lot of research on that, and I have come to the conclusion that the fact is, from what people say, that it doesn't matter what you are. There's many, many occurrences of normal people driving through reservations, you know, running into these things. I mean, you don't have to be Native to be affected. I mean, that was my friend's opinion, and I strongly disagreed with him. You know,
well, I have a feeling that, and this is my beef against a lot of Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
For example, Hollywood tends to say, okay, well, if you don't believe in voodoo, it can't hurt you. If you don't believe in ghosts, they can't hurt you. If you don't believe in the Ouija board, it can't hurt you. If you don't believe in this, so all you have to do is say, I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe. And then it all the battle.
Just goes away, yeah.
And I'm sorry, you know, it's like, okay, well, if you don't believe in bullets, they can't hurt you. Wrong!
Yeah, very wrong.
A bullet can hurt you. If you don't believe in, you know, lightning, it can't hurt you. No, I mean, it can. Mm-hmm. It really can. So it's the same thing with skinwalkers and demons. Although I don't think everything is a demon, like some people do. But these things, you don't have to believe in them for them to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with skinwalkers. You know, if they're real. Right, and if they are evil incarnate and being controlled by, you know, a single individual who you can go and pay money, or if they're controlled by a ritual or something like that, and they can do physical harm in our reality, then yeah, they can hurt you even if you don't believe in them.
Exactly.
You
know, well, yeah, there's been several occurrences I talked to one man who is not a friend of mine, but I got some information that, you know, he had an experience. He was driving through a reservation near Albuquerque, and he hit something with his car. And there was a lot of hair and blood on the front of his, you know, on the front of his car, and he got out to look at it, and he was startled by a man on the side of the road. There was a man there, and he asked the man if he needed help, you know, and the man took off into the desert or whatever. He took off on the side of the road and just went into the dark. And the guy was super confused because he knew he didn't hit a man, you know, because there was all this hair and blood on the front of his car, but yet there was a man on the side of the road in the middle of, you know, nowhere, running. I mean, it freaked him out, you know what I mean? And according to him, he had very bad luck after that. You know, he had a lot of bad things happen to him. And
it's, a mysterious story. It's a mysterious story of the skinwalkers.
Amazing.
It's very, and Doug, you really made a great point there a second ago too. That was a really good point.
Well, that's just my pet peeve about.
And it's a great point, I think, because you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody either. I know Doug isn't, and I know Will isn't. No Brand isn't either, but there are some things, and coming from someone who's experienced a couple little things myself, I can honestly say that there is something going on beyond, you know, getting up and going to work every day. I'm not going to sit here and try to make up my own, you know, grand unified theory of the way things work like a lot of people do. But I cannot, you know, people ask me that, and when it goes to skinwalkers to whatever, there is something going on here, and you just can't wish it away.
The reason I wanted to come on tonight, you know, is to make people conscious, you know, that they're... I get a lot of slack from certain people that, you know, why are you doing this? You know, why are you investigating something that's so negative?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you so into this? Why don't you just leave it be? And I don't see it as negative, you know. I keep myself pretty neutral. I see it more as a fascination, you know what I mean?
And you can learn from that.
Yeah, if there's human beings out there that can be puppeteers to the supernatural, that's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
If these people can physically conjure up, you know, something from the other world and use it and control it and have total and utter, you know, control over this being,
yeah,
that fascinates me.
That's very fascinating. I agree. Brandon, unfortunately, yeah. Oh, man, we're out of time. Another one of those shows, man. We're going to have to go 4 hours pretty soon. Brandon, I've got to thank you for coming on and taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us about something new to us that I find very interesting that I'm going to look up a lot more, I think, because of our discussion tonight, too.
What was that book?
Oh, that book is... Okay, let me get it. Let me get my little paper. Where did I put it? It's by Mark Simmons. It's the author.
Mark Simmons.
Yeah,
Southwestern Witchcraft or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Witchcraft in the Southwest.
Okay.
That's it.
And it's by Mark, M-A-R-C, Simmons.
Mark Simmons, and you mentioned that to us on the break. There, you're like, you know, if people are interested in the stuff that we were talking tonight, that's an excellent book to get.
Yeah,
on
and I mean, a lot of there's a lot of books out there, and I haven't read a lot of them because you know they're really more folklore, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they're not really getting into the history, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really talking factual. They're like, okay, we're gonna talk about. We're not going to involve any of the real things that happen. We're just going to talk about the ghost stories and the folklore. And that's okay. That's cool. But this book it talks about the Inquisition and how the Indians were persecuted. It's really cool. It's really in-depth. So
very interesting.
People go check that out. We're going to have to cut this off, though.
Yes, thank you.
We
got to
run. Brandon, stay on the line for 1 second, okay?
Okay, cool.
Guys, another week.
I know. Put this one in the can.
Man.
Well, put it up on the
internet. I'm going to try to have it up by 11 o'clock tonight.
Well, whatever, because I know we want to grab a bite to eat.
But yeah. I'm going to try to get it up as soon as possible for everybody. I am.
Cool.
It feels great to not have to go to work after this thing, man. It's like I need to get stuff done and get some sleep for a change. Thanks a lot, guys. It's been another week.
I have to say thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to our field reporters, Havoc and John,
mm-hmm.
Magnus Apollo, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Chris. Thank you to
Brandon.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in and learning, putting up with a bit of our antics for a while. But, this was fun.
Yeah, this is one of
that
those shows.
So
we need to get a lot off
fun
our
at
chest
the beginning.
Here.
And then learning about
the skinwalkers
of Native American culture. I have to say I fully respect and honor the Native American culture and
salt of the earth.
And I am so absolutely glad to have gotten to talk about this. With
very cool.
That,
let's get
this
out of here.
Has been Ghost. First of all, there's another Ghost Talk coming up on Wednesday. You got to listen because it's Lloyd Auerbach.
Yeah.
So and I will be here for that one. Other than that,
full force.
This
on
has
Wednesday.
Been Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
We're out of here.
Catch you on Wednesday, and then of course again next Sunday.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Ghostly Talk. corrupt, I listen too loudly.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
People with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.